Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Walker Wildman and now Steve Jordahl, reporter for OneNewsNow.com. Steve, good morning / good afternoon, depending on where our listeners are.
Good after morning.
Good after morning. I like it.
Yes.
And welcome to the final day of 2019.
I know. It's been quite a year.
It has. Yeah. And it looks like it's not going out quietly, at least in terms of our embassy in Iraq. What's the latest on that?
So things have been escalating in Iraq. The embassy, the U.S. embassy in Baghdad, has been overrun by Iraqi rebels. The backstory on this is the United States. Some missiles were launched from Syria that killed an American contractor, and we retaliated. President Trump retaliated by doing 5 targeted airstrikes in southern Iraq and in Syria that killed at least 25 Iraqis. Now they're coming back, and they have stormed the U.S. embassy, and they've breached the outside of the compound. By all accounts that I have so far, the embassy is safe. I saw a remarkable video shot through a glass window of U.S. Marines guarding. They're standing there with their rifles at ease, ready to go, but at ease, looking like they haven't a care in the world, looking like they're in charge of everything, while just outside a glass partition, these Iraqi rebels are yelling death to America, and they're going to... So things are tense right there right now. President Trump is blaming Iran for this. He says that this is all caused by Iran. In fact, here's his tweet. Iran killed an American contractor, wounding many. We strongly responded and always will. Now Iran is orchestrating an attack on the U.S. embassy in Iraq. They will be held fully responsible. In addition, we expect Iraq to use its force to protect the embassy and so notified. I saw a statement from the Iraqi government that said they would help defend the embassy. Whether they have yet or not, it's unknown.
All right, now, again, to go even further in the background, and I'm no expert in Muslim affairs, so let me just make that clear. But the largest split within Islam is between Sunnis and Shias.
Right.
And this split happened soon after Muhammad died, has something to do with who would be taking over the religion, basically, in terms of succession. Right. And I think that's where the split. So this is a very old split. And the vast majority throughout the world of Muslims are Sunni. Okay, so majority Sunni countries would be Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Syria, Egypt is a little bit... let's just talk about the Middle East. But the Shia Muslims are primarily concentrated in Iran and Iraq.
Yes.
And a Some little bit Afghanistan. Lebanon, Afghanistan. So this is part of that power play now between like Saudi Arabia and Iran. A lot of these Sunni majority countries are concerned about what Iran is wanting to do. But Iraq is majority Shia.
Yeah.
And so behind the scenes, you have that interplay between Sunnis and Shias. And that's why the president has said, yes, these were Iraqi militia doing this, but in parentheses, they're Shias and Iran is calling the shots.
That's what he's saying. And he says he's going to hold them responsible. We will see what that means. He has a track record of keeping his word when he says we're not going to let you cross this line.
Yeah, the fact that this was able to escalate to this extent where they've breached the perimeter, they're not in the embassy that we can see, but they've breached the gates basically and they're burning down structures where people aren't in. The fact that this was able to escalate in a country where we've been spending billions we've been spending trillions in the Middle East, but billions in Iraq to, quote, stabilize it, build up their government, And this was able to happen, escalate to this extent, is, I don't know how to explain this. I mean, we where is the Iraqi government? Where is the Iraqi military? Where are the Iraqi police force? I'll tell you what, you do this in Israel, or you do this to an Israeli embassy, then you get shot. If you breach the perimeter and you're burning down structures, then Israel shoots you. If you cross their border from the Gaza Strip into Israel and you're throwing cocktail grenades and all kind of stuff, and you breach the border of Israel, they shoot you. But here we are, we let these Iraqi, Iran-funded protesters breach our embassy, burn our embassy down, at least in part, and what do we evacuate? We evacuate. It's one of those things, Ed and I were talking during the break, why aren't we going to have an embassy? What's the point of having a sovereign embassy if it can be breached and burned to the ground? And Iraq is saying that they're going to hold these people responsible. How? Yeah.
Well, and to your point, when you use the word sovereign, in according to international law, an embassy is the legal territory of the nation,
right,
whose embassy it is.
Yes.
So this U.S. embassy in Baghdad is U.S. property. That's
US
the way.
U.S. soil.
Yes, U.S. soil.
What they refer to.
So to your point, people breach it. We're probably hesitant to start shooting, but if they go any further, I hope these U.S. Marines don't have empty weapons.
Right.
I hope they've been issued ammunition.
Yeah.
And they defend the people, because my understanding is some of the staff that has not left the compound, the embassy, are in what's called the safe room. I guess this is a locked part of the facility,
yeah,
where they can be out of harm's way and be rescued from one central location. I hope these Marines are not sitting ducks.
Yeah. It's embarrassing. I mean, even with President Trump in charge, this is embarrassing, and I hope he does something about it, because we can't have our embassy in any country raided to this extent and with no repercussions. And I'm not saying we go to war with Iran, but either we need to defend our embassy or we need to get out of there.
Right.
Which, and you have to pick. If you're going to be there, you're going to have an embassy, you got to defend it. And if you're not going to defend it, no sense in having an embassy.
The Daily Mail is reporting that the Americans have sent 100 U.S. Marine troops in to reinforce the people in the embassy. So it's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, this is escalating.
Yeah.
And listen, Iran is a bad actor on the world stage. I can't prove that they're behind the Iraqi militia or behind these protests. I just think that's part of their nature,
yeah,
and their modus operandi. I'm not talking about the Iranian people. I'm talking about the people in charge of that nation.
Yeah.
They are the world's largest sponsor of terrorism,
yep,
in the world, and I have little doubt that they are behind this. And I don't want, like you said, I don't want to go to war with Iran. That's just the layout of that country. You don't want to have to put boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. Frankly, I think our country's been in enough wars over the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
But you can't be bullied either.
Right.
Because countries like this don't stop.
Yeah.
If I may say so, it's nice to not hear our administration blame this on some rogue video.
Yeah. And arrest a U.S. national.
National.
Right. You're talking about 2012.
The Benghazi attack.
Now, Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, Republican senator, he backed President Trump in all this and said there will be no Benghazis on his watch.
Right.
That's what Senator Graham said. So
the ambassador is on leave. He was already evacuated before he was out of the compound before this happened. And they're not going to, this is all out in the open. This isn't happening in the middle of the night. And the embassy at this point is secure. If any embassy in the world is secure, I would think that one would be.
Yeah.
One of the most secure.
All right. What else we got? What else is going on?
Every so often, we bring in these sound clips of people expressing their view of Trump voters. Usually from the left, it's denigrating them, calling them baskets of the deplorables,
right,
or clinging to guns and religion. MSNBC, or I'm sorry, NBC, on Meet the Press on Sunday, moderator Chuck Todd brought in, he found an editorial letter to the editor from the Lexington Herald Leader. And he read it, and I want you to hear what this letter says of Trump supporters and what Chuck Todd agrees with about Trump supporters. This is cut whatever you know what it is.
I want to read you guys a letter to the editor that we found in the Lexington Herald Leader. It was a fascinating attempt at trying to explain why some people support President Trump. Here's what he says. Why do good people support Trump? It's because people have been trained from childhood to believe in fairy tales. This set their minds up to accept things that make them feel good. The more fairy tales and lies he tells, the better they feel. Show me a person who believes in Noah's Ark, and I will show you a Trump voter. Look, this gets at something, Dean, that my executive producer likes to say is, hey, voters want to be lied to sometimes. They don't always love being told hard truths.
Yeah.
This gets really tiresome. The arrogance on the left. We talked about Mark Galli, the editor of Christianity Today, the kind of arrogance he's displayed in the past towards Christians who believe differently than he does about politics. Yep. This is Chuck Todd. I have no idea what his views are, if he's an atheist or an agnostic or a Christian. I don't know.
I don't think he takes the Noah's Ark story very seriously.
So this is a guy, Chuck Todd, who is poking fun. He's in agreement with this letter to the editor, poking fun at people who believe the Bible, and basically thinks that Christians and people who are Trump supporters are stupid. They don't want to be told the hard truths because you know what? Only Chuck Todd and the people on the left are willing to believe the hard truths. Those other simpletons out there, they don't want to know the hard truths. They want to be lied to.
I think you're giving them a little too much credit by saying they're poking fun at. Like they're having humor at this. I don't think it's humorous to them at all. I think they actually believe that Christians and Trump voters are deluded fairy tale believers. Yeah.
Well, you know, Michael Moore, the I guess you call him a comedian, but Michael Moore, I played a clip on my show a few weeks ago about him. He was on, I think he was on MSNBC. He was on a panel, but he said, heading into 2020, we don't just need to focus on getting rid of Trump. We also need to, quote, get rid of that which gave us Trump, talking about the voters. Now, what he meant by get rid of, I don't know whether he's talking about change their minds or make them not come out to the ballot box. Who knows? He didn't clarify. But the sentiment, the disdain for that which gave us President Trump, or really that which gives us anything conservative, anything patriotic, the left completely despises. And so this really doesn't surprise me.
Do you think it's any surprise then that the only violence, for the most part, that we see in this country is coming from the left?
Yeah. Well, when you have the type of rhetoric that they have, calling a basket of deplorables and blaming President Trump and conservative policies for, you know, separating women and children at the border and shutting down immigration and things like that, when you use the type of overly hyped rhetoric, then you know, the resorting to violence is only going to follow. And then you have the direct calls to violence that, who was it on Inauguration Day at the rally or the day after the inauguration?
It was Madonna.
Madonna said, I've thought oftentimes about blowing up the White House.
Right.
Maxine Waters says you need to get in their face. Those examples go on and on and on.
So, Michael Moore, to your point, what does he mean by we got to get rid of that which gave us Trump?
Yeah.
Get rid of how?
He didn't say, which only leaves it up to speculation.
Yeah, scary stuff. Hey, how would you like to end the year off with good news?
I don't know. Why end the year off with good news when we know when we come back here on Thursday, it's just going to be bad news?
My question is, can the good news last us 11 minutes?
Well, I have a couple good news things.
All right, well, let's take a shot at it. Listen, if we fail and we still have time at the end of the show, end us off with something bad.
News, right? There you go. Let's start with... and it's good news born out of horrific news, this church shooting in Texas. The man, the security guard, his name is Jack Wilson, who was the guy that stopped the shooter, finally gave an interview and spoke out. And I want you to hear this guy's reasoning, his thought process.
This is a former FBI agent, right?
Former FBI agent. He trains people with the use of handguns. he was ready to go. And his I saw the tape. I listened to the tapes. The shots went bang, bang, bang. The first two were the shooter. The third one was Jack Wilson, and he nailed the guy. So let's hear. This is cut one. I want you to hear his voice.
When the individual came into the building, we were aware that there was some concerns for him. We were already watching him. We had cameras turned on him. He had on a fake beard and a fake wig with a toboggan on his head and wearing a long coat. The whole thing was less than 6 seconds from start to finish. He went and started towards the front of the sanctuary, and that's when I, you know, was able to engage him. And I took the shot. The shooter went down, went over to cover, and pulled the shotgun away from his body. My goal was to make sure the shooter didn't get up. He was down. He was bleeding profusely from his head, and the only movement was, you know, just body twitching, which, you know, happens, you know, when someone is in that condition where they're about to die. I don't see myself as a hero. I see myself as doing what needed to be done to take out the evil threat. I don't feel like I killed an individual. I killed evil.
There you have it.
Yeah.
That
is... God's a hero.
Yeah, that is a from a Christian worldview that this man, this assailant, murderer, cold-blooded murderer,
yeah,
was completely under the power of the evil one.
Yeah.
He was responsible for his actions, when I say that he was under the power of the evil one. But he was in the grip of evil and was in agreement with it and was a willing vessel,
yeah,
of evil. So when Jack Wilson says he didn't kill a person, he killed evil, he's making a point. He obviously knows,
yeah,
it's a human being laying there because he's talking about the person's body. But that person was being, I'm not saying he was possessed, I'm just saying he was a willing vessel for, absolutely, evil designs. And that is biblical. That is the description of what happened to Judas Iscariot, to Jesus, during the Passion Week after the Last Supper. It says Satan filled his heart,
yeah,
and from then on, Judas was not being controlled like a puppet, someone moving the strings. He was a willing participant with what was now a demonic control of his activities. So that's I'm not sure why that's a good news story, but you know,
I'm
glad that guy was there for the sake of...
I wanted you to hear the voice of the we consider a hero. I talked to a church security expert yesterday about this, and he said that security team, excellently trained, well done, superb, A+. The congregation, however, froze.
Yeah.
And he says congregations need to be trained as well. You run if, yeah, you're near an exit. You run. If you're not near an exit, you're far away from the shooter, you get behind something big and make your way towards an exit.
Right? Yeah, I'm not sure what their training was. It depends on, there's different experts say different things. Some say run, some say hide, duck for cover. So who knows what their training was internally. It could have been to duck under the pews and let the security team take care of the threat.
I don't know that the church, most churches don't train their congregation. They train the security.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
And part of the issue is, because I did watch this video.
Mm-hmm.
I said this yesterday, I don't typically watch those kind of things, but this one was, the shot was far enough away, the camera shot.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wouldn't have to watch, you know, people, you know, bleeding and all those kind of things. But to your point, Steve, the all the people in the congregation flattened out. They went down on the ground, and I started thinking this very thing. I don't know what the right thing to do is. Now, that does help. Seems like it would help security get a clearer shot.
It does.
So you don't have to worry about accidentally shooting, running people running in front of you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if security fails, then all these people are down on the ground and make easy targets. I'm not sure what the right thing is.
If you watch the video, I saw a lot of people freeze, didn't duck. They just, this can't be happening. This
right.
isn't happening.
Yeah,
this isn't really happening.
That definitely happened.
And so that's what Ryan Dobson is, this guy's name, James Dobson's son,
okay,
who trained with Doc's security team because he has a full-time security team because of all the death threats that he got, his family got. He's used to living in this environment. He trains churches. And his it was run, hide, fight.
Yeah.
In that order. You run if you can.
Yeah.
You hide behind something big and bulky that bullet can't get through if you can't run, and you make your way towards something. If you are right next to the shooter and he says you're going to get shot in the back, then you fight like it's like your life depends upon it.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a terrible situation for anybody to be in. And so, folks, if you're listening, we're not criticizing anyone at the church.
No.
Because there's no dress rehearsals for that. Yeah, nobody really knows how they would react. But thank goodness for Jack Wilson and the rest of that team.
Yeah, that's a textbook case, and it should. If churches and ministries are not trained up, that's a textbook case as to why we need to be trained up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yuma, Arizona, I want to introduce you to Mayor Douglas Nichols, who yesterday withdrew the city's state of emergency that he issued in April. He issued in April because Yuma, Arizona is down on the border with Mexico, and they were being overrun by illegal immigrants. The number peaked in May at 144,000 in May just in that area. Well, it has dropped. It has dropped 71% since May. The number in November was about 42,000. So this is what he rescinded the emergency declaration, and this is what he said. I am grateful to be able to withdraw the proclamation of emergency due to the Trump administration's policy changes that diminish the flow of migrant family units to the Yuma area and prevent releases into the Yuma community. Today is a momentous day for the Yuma region, and I was able to withdraw the proclamation of emergency alongside Acting Deputy Secretary Cuccinelli. So the immigration policies of the Trump administration making a difference in Yuma, at least, and I think all along the border they've seen these things
dry. Yeah, and to your point earlier, that is good news. That is good news that it is starting to dry up some of that illegal immigration, because Yuma is right down on the border.
Yeah.
Not far from Mexicali. And so that would be one of the first places that would experience the fallout from illegal immigration, which is why in April they issued that proclamation or resolution.
Right.
So, tip of the hat to the Trump administration for that.
Yeah, and you can imagine, I mean, President Trump and his administration have been able to do so much improvement when it comes to, I mean, we still have a problem down there, but it's the problem is not as bad as it has been. But can you imagine if Congress was on board?
Yes.
If the president had Congress on board to pass laws on the books that helped stem this tide. So maybe we'll get that in the future, but President Trump's doing all he can.
2020 goes, yeah.
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 And I will say this, Yuma's hot. I've been there. I lived in Scottsdale, Arizona for almost 3 years.
You have to think at some point the countries that are sending these people or the people from the countries that are coming, they're going to run out of people who want to risk that journey
right at
some point. And this by numbers, it's going to decline because no one else is willing to take that risk.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve.
My pleasure.
Steve Jordahl, reporter for OneNewsNow.com. Folks, this is the last time you will hear today's issues in 2019. We're sorry to see you go, but we look forward to seeing you again in 2020. See, I told you I was going to keep doing that until I got a couple chuckles out of it. Folks, we hope you have a safe and blessed New Year's Eve tonight. Please stay safe. If your church has an event tonight, you might want to check that out, bring in the new year if your church is going to have a prayer vigil or what have you. But in any case, have a wonderful New Year's Day tomorrow, and hope you have a blessed time with family, and look forward to what the Lord will do in 2020. We'll see you later.